It is great to have you guys here with us at Hope on the Beach Church. So glad that you could make it. And if you haven't had a chance yet to say good morning to somebody that you don't know or haven't seen in a while, now's your chance. Get up and go introduce yourself. If you already did it, just do it again. It's twice as nice on Sunday mornings, right? Well, it is so great to have you guys here once again. And my name is Rachel Harris, and I have the privilege of being your host here at the 11 o'clock 98 campus service, where everybody's welcome just the way that you came today. So no matter how you might be feeling, no matter if you just came off of the beach and you have sandy toes, it doesn't matter. We're just glad that you are here and ready to worship with us. And if you're with us for the first time, we want to give you a special welcome, or perhaps if you haven't been back in a while, we're so glad to see you again. And we want you to worship in whatever way is best for you. So throughout the service, feel free to stay seated if you would like to. Join us when we rise to worship. Please do certainly raise your hands to praise God. Just be yourself. And also, in honor of you coming to join us this morning, if you look in your worship folder, you're going to see this connection card. If you haven't already taken it out, if you could fill it out, tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel comfortable sharing, who you are, where you're from. If you have any special reasons for visiting, you can write those on the backside. If you're here regularly, just your name is fine, unless any info has changed or there's something that you would like to share with us this morning. This is our way to honor the gift God has given us by bringing you here this morning. We're so glad that you're here to join us. And so we are currently we're studying the book of Acts, and we are in our Sent sermon. And this morning, we have Pastor Ray to give us the message on the first short-term mission trip. But before we get started, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mighty presence with us today. And we pray to just breathe in more of you and breathe out your truth and your love to others. And Lord, may you made us to praise and glorify you. Let that be at the center of our hearts and our desire to just shine your light through the guidance and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So let us make it known to everyone we meet that we are children of God, Lord, and that we belong to you. So thank you, Father, for continuing to work through us and moving us towards the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In your loving name we pray, amen. And we are getting ready to have Sam lead us in worship, but first I just want to give a warm welcome to those of you that may be watching online, YouTube, or from our website. Good morning to you guys. And if you don't mind, go down to the comments, tell us where you're watching from, because we love to hear from everybody that's joining us this morning. And if you click share, you can help spread the gospel. If you want to download the worship folder, you can find a link to that right on our homepage at hopeonthebeach.com.
Y'all feel free to stand with us this morning. We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord, our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet, no, we shout out your praise. Sing to the God who heals, we sing to the God who heals, we sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. And my God is still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. Because we were the beggars. Because we were the beggars. And now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners. And now we're running free. And we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. Sing that again. We were the beggars. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners. But now we're running free. And we are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. No, we shout out our praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. And our God is surely in this place. So we won't be quiet. No, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. And there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. No, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. And our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. Shout out your praise. Amen. Let's give him a hand this morning. Or a shout. Christ is my firm foundation. Oh, the rock on which I stand. And everything around me is shaken. Still got joy, and I still got joy in chaos. Oh, I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. He's never let me down.
Psalms, the Psalms were written to be sung. And if you really read through the Psalms when you're in a time of need, you see they're really prayers and they're promises of God. And the song you just sung includes the promises of God. It's kind of like a modern day psalm, if you will. You believe that God will never fail you, never let you down. His promises are, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Let us pray to him. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Help us to walk by faith, not by sight. Not by what we experience, but what we read about you as our Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. As you heard earlier, Pastor Jason's in the Northeast up in Seattle, Washington, and he is doing a seminar. So he's working this morning. He's not on vacation by any means. In fact, before he left, he was working hard to put it all together. So pray for him that as he works up there, as we're down here. So I'm kind of pinch-hitting for him this morning. So I'm glad to be here this morning. So let me ask you a question. Anybody ever been on a mission trip? Since we're talking about mission trips this morning, have you read the title of the sermon, The First Short-Term Mission Trip? I've been on several, more than a dozen. I've been to Mexico a bunch of times in what I call Western Belize, near the Guatemala border, up in the what we call the rainforest, the monkey forest of Belize. And I just enjoy bringing the gospel to people. A lot of times, but before I leave on a mission trip, people will ask me, isn't there enough work to be done here in the United States? Why do you need to leave to go there? And my response has always been, because God has called me to go there. Sometimes I ask people, where's God called you to go? How many of you would consider yourself a follower of Jesus? Okay, put your hands down. I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a lot of questions. A lot of questions in this sermon today. Jesus was a missionary. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are also a missionary. Do you consider yourself? You ever thought about that? You're a missionary? The word missionary is not really a word that we find in the Bible. The Bible talks about sent ones. Jesus didn't say, go be a missionary. He knows, I am sending you. And you'll hear that. The Apostle Paul picked up on Jesus' words, you're sent. And this morning's sermon is about a man named Philip that Pastor talked about last week. Philip was sent. He was not an apostle or a disciple. He was a layman, just like you are. You're a layman. And why is that important? Because as you've heard the last 2 weeks, number one in your notes, God uses ordinary people like you. Uses more ordinary people than he does any other people in the world. Our study in the book of Acts continues. I'm going to read Acts 8:26. It goes like this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. Philip is in the middle of a revival in Samaria. People are coming to Christ. There's a lot of work to be done. Then all of a sudden God says, okay, you're done here. I've got a project for you. I got a mission for you. And it's like one of those towns in the middle of nowhere. You ever come to a little town and it's like it's got one red light. And there's always a cop sitting there to make sure you stop. And it usually has a Dairy Queen and maybe a nail salon, maybe one gas station. Gaza was an ordinary place. It wasn't a very big place. It was a hole in the wall. And that is where, number two, the ordinary becomes the extraordinary. The ordinary becomes the extraordinary. And he, Philip, rose and went, Acts 7:27. It's extraordinary that Philip would meet someone from Ethiopia, which is a country that's 1,600 miles away. 1,600 miles away. Incredible. Debbie and I were in the Eastern Caribbean once, and we were walking through a tour store, and she heard someone speaking English. And I walked in, and they went, Pastor Ray! And I went, wow, okay, you know. But it was 1,600 miles away, Philip would meet an Ethiopian, and it's extraordinary that that would happen. It's also extraordinary that Philip would leave a successful ministry and go to a desert place, go where God asked him. There was a guy named Jonah, and God asked Jonah to go to a place, and what did he say? Not going to go there. And when God guides you, he may not give you the who, what, when, where, how. He just says go. He may simply put you where there's a need to accomplish what he wants. And Philip answered God's call. So, question for you. Are you willing to go wherever God wants you to go? Are you willing to answer God's call? You know, the Lord could have sent an angel directly to the Ethiopian eunuch, but he didn't. Because God didn't give the great commission to angels. He gave them to people. You're his voice. In response to the Lord's command, rise and go, Philip rose and went. You know, we use this expression, are we on the same page with people? I'm going to challenge you this morning. Are you on the same page with God? Are you and God on the same page? That means what God is doing, you're doing. Can you say that? When is the last time you had a sense that God was sending you on a mission? Happened to me on Friday. I was driving home, and God says, you need to go see this lady, and she's in a nursing home, and she's got Alzheimer's. Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going home. I'm going there. I got your sermon to write, Lord. I'm going to go see this lady. She won't even know who I am. I'm going to the nursing home. So I go to the nursing home, and I get there, and her daughter's with her. And this lady looks at me, and her daughter goes, do you know who this is? She goes, of course, Pastor Ray, come here. And her daughter went, what? And I said, can I give you a hug? And she goes, you don't have to ask. Here, give me a hug. What a blessing that was. Why? Because God said, go see this woman. That's happened to you, hasn't it? You've been going someplace, or you call somebody. You wake up in the middle of the morning, and God brings you someone to your mind, and the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, go do this. There's something happening, unexpected happening, and the ordinary becomes extraordinary. The ordinary becomes extraordinary. Philip is having an ordinary day, and God made it extraordinary. And it's only happened because, number three, Philip has faith in the guidance of God, even when it doesn't make sense. He has faith in the guidance of God. There were a lot of unanswered questions. Why go there? The angel didn't say. Where exactly on this desert road am I supposed to go? After all, there's a stretch between Jerusalem and Gaza. It's 50 miles of road there. I'll meet you on Highway 98, okay? And you go, okay. The angel didn't say. And what is he supposed to look for when I get there? There was no answer. But just go. That was God's instruction. And Philip went. That's all it says. He rose up and went. Now think for a moment how that sounded to Philip. I'm leaving a successful ministry, and I'm going where? To a desert, obscure place. It just doesn't make sense. I can make a million excuses, Philip thought to himself, but Philip has the faith and guidance of God and said, okay, this is where I'm going. Our story continues. Let's look at Acts 8:27. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. In that day, Ethiopia was a huge territory. It was everything south of the Nile River in Africa. And this guy was in charge of all the queen's money. That's a lot of money. And she trusted him with all of this. And so this guy decides one day, I'm going to travel to Jerusalem. She goes, okay, go. In order to make the trip, it's a long trip, 1,600 miles. You're going to need a caravan. You're going to need people to take your food. And there's no restaurants along the way. You're going to need people to provide housing. You're going to need security, so you'll have guards. So you're going to have a caravan full of people that are going to tend to your needs as you go there. So here's Philip. He's standing on the side of the road, and he sees his caravan. It's impressive, but it's intimidating. He must have been thinking to himself, nah, this couldn't be it. God wouldn't want me to take on a whole caravan of people. But wait for it. Number four, sometimes God's plans roll out like a scroll. Do you ever wish that you had a red phone that you could call God, you pick it up? Oh, wait a minute. Hey, God, I know you're busy. Just answer yes or no. Don't you wish you had that phone? You know, sometimes as a pastor, people will go, I was in the hospital last week and you didn't come to see me. And I go, well, because my red phone's broke. It's just God didn't call me and tell me you were there. Sometimes God's plans are like unrolling a scroll. You don't see the whole picture. You just see bits and pieces. And all of a sudden, as the scroll unrolls, you start seeing the whole picture. Why does God do that? Because he wants to teach you how to walk by faith, not by sight. And here's Philip, walking by faith, not by sight, one step at a time. Listen how this played out. Acts 28. He, the Ethiopian, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in a chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join his chariot. Now, we're not told how the Spirit said that to Philip. It was an audible voice that he's feeling in his heart. It doesn't tell us, but you'll find in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is moving people to mission, speaking to people, moving them to mission. And the reason it was that way in a lot of ways is because they didn't have what we have. They didn't have the written word. They had the Old Testament, but the New Testament hadn't been written yet. We have the Bible. We know exactly what God wants us to do. And we listen for that still small voice when God speaks to our hearts. Now, this Ethiopian came from a country with different religions. They worshipped animals. They worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars. And I can imagine this Ethiopian said to himself, you know, just this ain't getting it for me. There's something more. So he makes this long trip to go to see the God of Israel. You know, because people worship all kinds. We have a need to, God created us to be people of worship. We worship all kinds of things, even ourselves most of the time. And whatever you put in that hole in your heart, if it's not Jesus, you're going to always feel empty, wanting more. It never quenches your thirst. Only the living water of Jesus can do that, but I digress. The Ethiopian eunuch had questions, and Philip had answers. Philip read the Old Testament. Philip lived the gospel. He was there when Jesus taught. He was there when Jesus died. He was there when Jesus rose from the dead. So he had lived the Gospels. And he was ready to speak to this Ethiopian about God. That's what witnessing is. Sharing what you've seen and heard. Being an eyewitness. And the Word of God is the eyewitness report of what Jesus did for you. And that's what we are called to be, as eyewitnesses. You never know when God is going to lead you to witness. And so we have this scripture from 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have. Always be to answer people. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to be a missionary for Christ. Just tell the truth, nothing but the truth. How about Jesus? That's what witnessing is. Because God's plan of salvation, number five, God's plan of salvation is found in John 3:16. You know that verse. You know that verse? Can you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the good news about Jesus. And congratulations, you just took the first oral missionary qualification entrance exam and you all passed. Yay, you're all qualified to be missionaries now. Can you hand out the assignments when they leave here this morning, please? Okay. They're all good. I just certified them. They're all good. Our text continues from Acts 8:30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip, come up and sit with me. And now the passage that he was reading was this, like a sheep was led to slaughter and the lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this, his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth. So Philip sees his chariot on this dusty road. God says, go over and join this chariot. And he might have been afraid and intimidated. Like I was with Britney Spears. You feel intimidated. And the scriptures say that God said, go join this chariot. And the scriptures tell us that Philip ran to him. Ran to him. Remember the story of David and Goliath? There is Goliath. You come at me with a stick and a stone like I'm a dog. I'm going to feed you to the birds, Goliath is saying. And David puts the stone in his sling, and the Bible says David ran to the battle. How could he do that? Because he knew he wasn't alone. He knew that God was with him. He knew that God was with him. So Philip runs to the chariot. He sees this finely, strangely dressed man reading from a scroll, and he's reading it out loud. And Philip goes, he's reading Isaiah. And Philip opens the conversation with a question. This is how he starts the conversation. Do you understand what you're reading? That's all he said. And the eunuch replies, surprisingly, honestly, he says, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? Wow, what an opportunity for the gospel. Can you imagine if someone came up to you? You're a Christian, aren't you? Yeah. Well, can you tell me about Jesus? What an open door. What an open door. When you are in conversation with people, do you listen for opportunities, that open door, to share Jesus with people? Do you listen for an open door to share Jesus with people? The eunuch motions to his driver to stop the chariot. Philip takes a seat beside him, and as they're traveling along, here's Philip in a strange caravan, not knowing where he's going. And he opens up a Bible study with this Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch is wondering about a mysterious figure that Isaiah writes about. That the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading is, he was like a sheep being led to slaughter, like a lamb before his shearers is silent. So he opened up didn't open his mouth. And that's, we know that's from Isaiah 53, and it was written 800 years before Jesus was born. The Ethiopian had only read to chapter 53. He didn't get to chapter 55 yet. Can I read you chapter 55 before? This is what it says. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb to the slaughter. As sheep before his shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. This is Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the scriptures. Why didn't he open his mouth to defend himself? Because he was conceding our guilt. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he did it on the cross for you and me. John 3:16. He was going to be beaten and punished for us. And so the eunuch was asking, is this prophet Isaiah describing himself or someone else? And one of the reasons he wanted to know is because he had just gotten to the temple in Jerusalem. All that way. 1,600 miles one way. And when he got there, there was a sign on the temple gate that said, no lame or blind and no eunuchs may enter here. Remember this story a few weeks ago about the lame man who finally got to go into the temple when Peter pronounced God's healing upon him? Now here's the eunuch. He can't go in. And it is here, number six, that Philip met the eunuch where he was at and took him into the Word. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? And then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. You know, they're engaging in this Bible study, and Philip says, this guy you're talking about is Jesus. And we're not given a whole lot of detail about what Philip told the eunuch. He just told him the good news about Jesus. And the eunuch believes Jesus. And he asked to be baptized. He didn't say, why should I be baptized? He said, what prevents me from being baptized? Let's do that now. And Philip says, you got to go to an 18-week Bible course. You know, there may be somebody here this morning that's not baptized. If you've never been baptized, like the eunuch, what's keeping you from being baptized? Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have some questions. That's why you're not baptized, because you're not ready to take that step. Then talk to me. Talk to Pastor Jason. Talk to a member of this congregation about your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized. Maybe you have faith in Jesus, but you got busy. You know, I was telling the story this morning that I baptized a guy who was part of his praise band. And he had been a Christian for over 20 years and never been baptized. And he asked me if I would baptize him. He said, I just never had been baptized. I've been going to church for over 20 years, and I'm playing the praise band. And got busy. Maybe that's you. Maybe you thought it wasn't important. You know, Jesus thinks it's important because he said in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. So baptism was obviously important to Jesus. If Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, get baptized. Today could be the day when the ordinary turns to the extraordinary for you. The Ethiopian eunuch's transformation was remarkable. He's wrestling with Scripture, and now he's a baptized believer. And the transformation, it wasn't instant. It wasn't like that. It took Philip to involve himself in a conversation, sharing a faith in response to God's word. And it reminds me of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Remember, he was blinded by the light. He didn't become a Christian at that moment. He even met Jesus. And he was blinded, and he was led by his hand. It took Ananias to go see him and talk to him about what happened. You see, missionary work isn't just about preaching the word. It's about helping others encounter the power and life-changing power of Jesus is what missionary work is all about. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans 10:14, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anybody go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Because we're sent. And what's required to be a missionary is not an extraordinary knowledge of scripture or eloquent speech. It's about telling and speaking the truth in our lives what Christ has done for us, sharing our faith. That's all it is. The world is literally dying to hear the good news. And I've told this story probably 1,000 times, and I'll tell it one more time. The conversation between the Ethiopian and Philip, when Philip ran up to the chariot, how did it begin? Philip asked a question. Do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And that question turned into salvation for the Ethiopian eunuch. At the end of my senior year in high school, I graduated in 71. That means I'm 71 years old. Graduated in 1971 from high school. I was the president of the law enforcement club at Waco High School in Waco, Texas. And I was going to be a cop. And I got a scholarship from the Waco Police Department. Full ride. Books, tuition, everything. They were going to even provide me housing, but I was living at home, so they didn't do that. So, I mean, it was like a lot of money for a poor country boy. You can't beat that. I was 17 years old when I graduated from high school. I started working records and dispatch for the Waco PD, and couldn't do ride-alongs until I turned 18, which was later that July. And I was on my way until I went to a potluck dinner at my Lutheran church, and it was in August, the middle of August. And there was an old retired pastor there, Pastor Heckman. German, Deutsch. He had little John Lennon glasses on, you know. He looked at me and said, I saw your picture in the paper. Congratulations on becoming a policeman. Why did you want to become a cop? And I said, because I want to help people. I thought that was a great answer. And then he asked me a question, and I quit the next day. One question. Are you ready for it? Wouldn't it be better to help people before they needed a cop? I remember it hit me so hard. It was dark. I went into the sanctuary, which was right off the fellowship hall. I sat on the back pew, and I didn't even eat dinner that night. I went home and couldn't sleep. My mom took me to my work in the morning, the police department. My lunch was in the center of the bench of the old pickup truck, and mom says, "Are you going to take your lunch?" I went, "I'll be back, Mom. Just leave it there." And I went in and talked to Lieutenant Culp. He said, "Close the door," and I walked into his office, and he says, "What's wrong?" And I told him, he says, "God has a call on your life, son." I quit that day. Called Concordia, and they said, "Will we start next week? Have you applied?" "No." "You have any money?" "No." "But God wants me to be here." "Okay, if God wants you here, we'll take you." And they did. And here I am today. Because of one question, the Ethiopian eunuch is a Christian. Because of one question, I'm a pastor. 50 years of ministry, I've become a retired old pastor. Now I can ask you, do you want to spend your life for something that will outlast it? Do you want to spend your life for something that will outlast it? Think about that for a moment. They say there are no U-Hauls behind hearses, and that's true, right? And the only thing you're going to see in heaven is not your gold watch or your possessions or your property or your money or your bank account. The only thing you're going to see in heaven is other people. Other people. That is people who became Christians because you cared enough about their eternal destiny that you shared Jesus with them. That's who you see in heaven. That's what you care. That's what you care about. Nothing more important than that. That brings me to our memory verse from Isaiah 6:8. You want to say this with me? "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And he said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" So I ask you, number 7, where is God sending you? I'm not asking you if God is sending you. I'm saying, where is God sending you? God is calling all of us to be missionaries. And Philip's story isn't just a Bible story. It's a call to action. The question isn't whether we're called. It's how we respond. Are you open to the unexpected ways God may call you to serve? And are you willing to step out of your comfort zone to share the good news? Number 1, where's God sending you? Maybe God's sending you to share Jesus with one of your family members, someone at work, or a friend or a neighbor. Tell them what Jesus means to you. Ask them questions. What can I do to help you? What can I pray about for you? Isn't that a great question? What can I pray about for you? That is an open door. When you ask your neighbor or your friends or your coworkers, what can I pray about for you? 90% of the time, they're not going to say nothing. It opens the door for a conversation to allow Jesus to speak through you to them. What can I pray about for you? Share Jesus with a family member, someone at work, or a friend. Tell them what Jesus means to you. Or maybe God is sending you to help plant a mission campus at Inlet Beach. You know, we're going to be doing a sunrise service there. We're trying to move into that. They're begging this church to send missionaries over there to work over there. They've got an open door, and we're going through it. But we're going to need help. Pastor Jason just can't do it alone. We're going to need people to hand out bulletins. We're going to need people to help run sound. We're going to need people just to be there, sitting with the people. That's a witness, to fill a chair and talking to people. That's evangelism. Maybe God is calling you to plant a mission campus at Inlet Beach. That's going to take you out of your comfort zone. You used to come in here all the time. It may be further drive for you out there. And that's a sacrifice. Maybe God is calling you and say, "Hey, look, I'm willing to go to Inlet Beach for 6 months." Boom. Or a month. I'm going to go out there for a month. I'm going to help that launch that church out there. Maybe that's where God is calling you. Or maybe God is calling you to spend summer vacation on a 2-week mission trip. You know, last week we had a bunch of kids from Michigan up here, and they were here for a mission trip over their spring break. And maybe God is saying, you need to do that over your vacation, or spend a week or 2 weeks. Pastor Jason has a lot of ideas on that. Ask him. He can arrange that for you. You don't have to be in college to do a mission trip. We've got a lot of different mission trips available for adults and retired adults or working adults that want to spend 2 weeks of their vacation time or a month going someplace in the United States to help out. And we can set that up for you. Or maybe God is calling you into full-time ministry, like he did me. Pastor Jason's son Jacob was on track to be a pharmacist. That's a lucrative profession. He had it all planned out. But God called him to full-time ministry. He answered the call and said, okay, it's not about money. It's about where God wants me. He's a bright kid, and he could have done that. But he's decided this is where God wants me. Maybe God is saying, yeah, let go of, if I trust God with my eternity, I can trust him with my profession. If I can trust God with my eternity, I can trust him with my profession. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. And we believe here at Hope on the Beach that, you know, we want to reach out beyond our border. So maybe God is calling you on an international mission trip. And be willing to go for a month, 3 months, 6 months, or a year. I talked to Pastor Jason this last week, and he said, we can make that happen for our members if they want to go for a month, 3 months, 6 months. And I know that the most remarkable transformation happens when people go on international mission trips. When they leave the United States, they step on foreign soil with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the first time, seeing what God's doing in another country really heightens the spirit within you. You know you're there for one reason at all, and that is to share Jesus with people. And once you go to a foreign country for the sake of the gospel, you'll never be the same. Maybe God is calling you to do that. Talk to Pastor Jason. He's got some options for you. You know, one of the areas in particular is the 1040 window, and in your notes I have this written out. The 1040 window is a geographic band encompassing parts of North Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, between 10 and 40 degrees north latitude. In that window, there's more than half the world's population group. And these groups have a limited access to the gospel. It's a critical area for missions. And there's a particular focus for the Christian church to go into those areas and not to some other areas, but those areas right now. You know, evangelism isn't just Sunday morning. In fact, the early Christian church didn't do evangelism on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings was to worship the resurrected Jesus Christ, to remember his resurrection on Sunday. Pastor Jason said many times, Sunday morning is just a holy huddle. Remember him saying that? It's a holy huddle. The game's out there. We come in here to worship God and get instructions, and then we take the word out into the world, which brings us to the last point, which I think is the most important. Number 8, sharing the gospel is your bucket list. Surprise, surprise, huh? Now, the expression bucket list came from the movie The Bucket List that was released in December of 07. Anybody seen The Bucket List, the movie The Bucket List? A lot of you have? Okay. That for those of you who haven't, it's the story of two men played by Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman who had been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and they worked together and they put together this bucket list before they kicked the bucket. I'm going to go skydiving and climb the pyramids, race cars, and a bunch of other stuff. And a bucket list is the things that you want to experience or achieve before you die. But you know what the catch is? No one knows when they're going to die. I don't know if you knew this, but the Social Security looks at your Social Security, and they factor in the average death rate of a person that was born your year, okay, so they can do the budget. They can plan to calculate your life expectancy. But there's another one online. I've never gone there yet. It's called the death clock. And the death clock claims that they can predict the exact day of your death. They can pinpoint the exact day of your death. But here's the point. No one knows when we're going to die but God. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes tells us this. But it got me thinking, what if I really did know when I was going to die? Anybody else think about that? If you really knew the day you were going to die, I know that people come face to face with a bad diagnosis from their doctor. Even doctors don't know. They get a medical diagnosis, and the doctor says you have between 6 months and a year to live. But just imagine a moment if every one of us knew the exact day we were going to die, what difference would it make in your life? If you knew you only had a year to live, what would you want to do? Would you put together a bucket list? And I wrote down off of bucketlist.net, okay, this is official, there are 5 things that show up on everyone's bucket list. Let's see if you know these. Anybody seen the Northern Lights? Oh, okay, some of you did. Anybody go skydiving? Oh, I had like 4 or 6 people in the last service. Anybody get a tattoo? Willing to admit it? Okay, how about this? Go on a cruise? How about swim with dolphins? Anybody here swim? Oh, okay. Anybody? No one's done all 5 of those, have they? Your life would be complete if you did, okay? So you can't kick the bucket yet. But before you make out your bucket list, let me give you a spiritual perspective. First off, nothing wrong with planning to go do stuff. And God gave us a beautiful creation. Debbie and I want to go travel. We want to go see this. We want to go do that. We want to experience it all. But when you put out a bucket list, remember who's number one. God is. Don't let him off your list. A bucket list usually points to self-indulgence, something I want to do, I want to experience. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to go to Hawaii or having a French dinner in Paris at midnight, okay? But when you get to heaven and you look back at Earth, would you regret not getting a tattoo? Oh, man, I got to heaven and I didn't get my tattoo. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 90:12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, let your light shine before men. They'll see your good works. Glorify your Father in heaven. Don't lay your treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy. You know, Pastor Jason has said last week, it's not about me. It's not about me. As Christians, a bucket list involves loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And loving your neighbor means I care and love them enough. I care and love them enough to care about where they're going to spend eternity. Where are they going to spend eternity? That means taking time and effort to share Jesus with them. In the last year, I've come up with my bucket list. Are you ready for it? My bucket list is living in the moment. Whoever I am spending time with is my bucket list. You're on my bucket list. You're on my bucket list. You're on my bucket list. Because there's nothing more important than other people. When you get to heaven, you're not going to see, oh, where's my cell phone? Where's my wallet? Here I am in my robe, and I just feel like, no. The only thing you're going to see in heaven is other people. Other people, that's your bucket list. Love your neighbor as yourself. Care about their eternity. You're my bucket list. The reason Jesus died on the cross is because he cared about where we're going to spend eternity. The disciples of Jesus, it's always about living faithfully. It's not about dying. It's about living your life to the fullest in light of eternity. It's about giving your successes to his glory. It's about giving your failures to his mercy. And one day when you make it to heaven and you look back at how you spent your life on earth, you can say, you know, I wouldn't do anything differently. And now for the rest of the story. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Troas. And he passed through and he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. You know, it wasn't only the Ethiopian that was full of joy, the angels, Jesus said. I tell you, there's more joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Philip's going on to preach. The eunuch is going on back to Africa to share the good news of Jesus. You know, as the eunuch was traveling, I'm sure he got to Isaiah chapter 56, 3 chapters later. You know what Isaiah 56 says? It says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, I will give them an everlasting name, and they shall not be cut off. There was hope for the eunuch. The Ethiopian was serving the kingdom of a queen. Now he's serving the kingdom of a king, King Jesus. Pray that God opens your eyes to the world out there. The world is dying to see Jesus. Can you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that this place is full of your Holy Spirit, of you. And as we leave here today, may we leave as missionaries, not just as ordinary people, but as people loved by you. May we take that love to our neighbors, to our family, to all we come in contact with. We pray this in the name of our Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Pastor Ray asked us a lot of questions in this sermon, and one he said that really stuck out in my mind is, are you and God on the same page? How are you living your life? Because our life's purpose is God's mission. It's his will for us to serve, to share, to give, and to bring hope to others by introducing them to Jesus. So our offerings actually help us to fulfill this purpose as well as to glorify him. Inside of your worship folder, you have an offering envelope. If you would like to give, you can place your offering in here today. There are several ways to give outlined in your folder, including our text to give number, also online at hopeonthebeach.com or in person here at 98 Campus so that you can choose the best way. And on the back of your connection card that you filled out earlier this morning, you're going to see some ways to celebrate what God has done in your life. Pastor Ray talked today about being a believer. He talked today about being baptized. If you would like to be baptized, you can check that box. You can scan this QR code right here for information. And we would just love to celebrate this with you and pray over you. And we have some ways for you to connect with us here at Hope on the Beach Church to help you grow in your personal relationship with Jesus. And we do that by coming together as a Christian family. And we do have our youth groups on Wednesday nights at 5 o'clock. We also have coming up on March 22nd, Saturday, we have our Stephen Ministries. This is training on healthy boundaries. And we also have our worship. Our next worship at Inlet Beach is going to be on Sunday, March the 16th. And as Pastor Ray was talking about, maybe God has put it in your heart to help us grow this worship opportunity and help bring others closer to Jesus. Maybe you want to greet. Maybe you want to help with the sound, as Pastor Ray was talking about. And you can check that box on the back of your connection card. At this time, if you would like to take that connection card and also your offering envelope, you can put them in the plates on your respective side, and we're going to keep on worshiping.
Blessed Savior.
That's what Jesus did for you. He surrendered all. Will you please stand?